Rabbi say tonight, Shmuz is a schus refuah shalema for Shlomi Yitzchak ben Debera Etel. It's not well, you should have refuah shalema bekarv. Before we start the Pius Etzna, we're holding in the third parak. Ari has some extra chavis talmidim if anyone wants to look in inside. He's happy to share with you. Just want to share with you something that happened to me when I was a bocher in yeshiva. Just a reflection that had a flashback a little bit this morning. When I was a bocher in yeshiva, I learned in the Passaic yeshiva, which is around 25 minutes from where I grew up, in Teaneck, New Jersey. And my father used to come twice a week. My father, Zolzayn Gesundenstark, used to come twice a week to learn with me. Now, Seder ended at around 5 to 10, if I remember correctly, and then there was Myriv. So, until we actually got things rolling, it was pretty late at night. And, you know, yeshiva wasn't like the type of thing that we usually, you know, break up your siddurim to learn with your father. You have chavrusa, so used to do it after I finished night seder, after Myriv. Father would come. It was very till he left. It was very late at night. It was just like 11:15, 11:20. And my father was already not a young man at the time, and it was very taxing. So it was getting difficult, and I was trying to think of an etzav, how to do it in a way that it could be easier for my father. So I actually went into Rav Meir Stern, Shlita, Rosh Shiva, and I asked him, I said, we're talking about, you know, like the situation, the problem, and it's very hard on my father. And I said, I have an etzah. My father, Baruch Hashem, is a person with a very high principle, and he works in an office. He's the executive officer of the office. He's the executive administrator, so he could do what he wants, basically. So we'll make up during Ben Asadarim. I learn with him from 2 to 3. And he can't necessarily come to Passaic, drive out, and come back. So, but he'll close his office. He'll tell his secretary, you know, hold off calls, and we'll learn for an hour, 2 to 3, Ben Asadarim. I thought it was a great idea. I'll learn on the phone with my father on the phone, and that will be and that way he doesn't have to schlep to Passaic, and it was a viable option. It was real. My father can really do such a thing. So the Rosh Yeshiva said no. Said it's not a good idea. I asked him why not. He said to me, your father is the only father that comes to learn with his son in yeshiva. And I want that all the other bachrim should be able to see a father come and learn with his son. So you learning with on the phone is good for you and your father, but it's not good for everybody else. Your father has to come. So we had to make different times. My father came on Fridays and we worked things out, whatever it was. But seeing Sammy's father come and learn with him this morning for a Seder, it was a really special thing. It was a very special feeling. And it should be something that a goal that a parent that we should have as children. We should have a goal that we should be able to learn with our parent with our own children. Bez Hashem, we should be zoicha, and you should have a lot of nachas from yours. And thank you for being an inspiration for all of us. Okay, here we are. We're in the third parak. Ikrim achlas and nefesh v'trufos, and we spoke about there are people that they don't feel that anything's wrong. They're, as far as they're concerned, they're 100% fine. There's like nothing. Those people are very, very sick. Those people are the most sick, because when people are mamish, the disease has totally taken over. They don't even feel it anymore. So that's a person that doesn't even know that he has anything he has to fix. And then there's other people that maybe not as bad, but they know there's something wrong, but they're like, they excuse themselves and they say, look, it's not so bad. Not so bad. We spoke about the not so bad. We spoke about rak ra, it's just a little bad. You know, and they're okay with that. They're like, you know, I mean, I'm a human being, and what do you want from me? I can't be perfect, and what do you expect? And they kind of like excuse themselves. These are two different things. And we're up to Yisoid Machalas Shneim Hi, the bottom of page Lamed Zayin in the Sefer Chovas Talmidim. Yisoid Machalas Shneim Hi, where both of them are coming from, the same source. The Yisoid, foundation of both of them is She'enam Dorshim Me'atzmom Gadlus. They don't expect, demand of themselves greatness. Gadlus is greatness. Doim alehem sheraka tzadikim hagdoilim tzrichim la'avod l'sakin es atzman. Only the big tzadikim, they have to work hard. The big tzadikim, they're the ones that have to fix themselves. That's it. But for me, I'm just a simple guy. And they don't expect anything more of themselves. V'chol ish Yisrael kafishu be'ezoifin shu dailoi. And whatever you are, you're good. Whatever it is, you're good with that. There's an idea of being doirish, expectation, godless, wanting from yourself greatness. And this is one of the things we have to balance, because some people, they have a hard time with, you know, with the fact that trying to like have expectations of yourself, but not disappointing yourself. How do we do that? I have to figure out how to balance those things. But there's an idea of expecting greatness. And I think that Yaakov Avinu really brought it out in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says in this week's parasha, look it up. The Pasuk says, Vayikra Eloi, Kel Eloi Ke Yisrael. Vayikra Eloi, and he called out to him, Kel Eloi Ke Yisrael. It's talking about Yaakov and Hashem. It's not clear who's Kel, who's Eloi Ke Yisrael, who's talking to who. And the Medrash says, Yaakov was saying, Vayikra Eloi, Yaakov is called Kel. And he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Eloka Be'el Yoinim, you are God up there, V'ani Eloka Be'tachtoinim. I am huge down here. I'm important down here. That's Ki'ilu. Ata Eloka Be'el Yoinim, V'ani Eloka Be'tachtoinim. How could you compare the two of them? But you know what Reb Tzadik says? Reb Tzadik says, Kishem She'mitzvah Lahamin Be'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Mitzvah Lahamin Be'atzmecha. You have to believe in Hashem. Hashem, ata eloka be'elyonim. You also have to believe in yourself. Ani eloka be'tachtonim. I am greatness. And if a person has expectation of himself to become great, so then he's not okay with, you know, it's not what's so bad. We need greatness. We have to bring out, we have to be superstars. That's this idea. A person has to bring it out. And Avram Avinu's children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, are nimshalu l'koychavim. A star. Every star has so much nuclear power. It shines brighter than the sun. The sun is the smallest star. We have these huge stars. Every single one of us is a superstar. Every one of us. Your children, you have to bring out your hidden light. But you have a light that shines so brightly, like a star. And a person has to expect that of himself. Where's my light? I need to access that light. I need to find that light. But if we don't expect of ourselves anything, then nothing will become of us. We have to have expectations. I'll tell you a story. It's from when I was younger. I heard about there was a baseball team, and they had this manager who was very, very good at bringing out talent. He was the manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And there was a pitcher who pitched on the Baltimore Orioles. And he was like schwach. And then he was traded to the Dodgers. And all of a sudden, he became a 20-game winner. He became a 20-game winner. I don't know today if that's considered chashiv, but it's still considered chashiv. He became a 20-game winner. Shine. His name is Mike. Not to be confused with the Mike from the sneakers. That's a different Mike. His name is Mike. Mike became like this Maridika pitcher. So they asked Mike, Vosa Gishen, what happened? That, you know, you play for the Orioles. I mean, it's possible to play for the Orioles and do well. And all of a sudden you try to play for the Dodgers, you become like this great pitcher. And what happened? He said, I'll tell you what happened. I was working in the tunnel from the dugout to the locker room. And I was walking by the manager before the season started. As we walked by each other, he brushed up against me, pushed me up against the wall. And he said to me, Mike, you're winning 20 games this year. You're winning 20 games this year. And I said, okay. And I did it. See, when everyone tells you you're average, you know what you are? You're average. But when someone tells you, you're great, you're great. If you just expect of yourself, okay, you expect me to hit 20 games, I'm going to hit 20 games because that's what's expected of me. If a person's not looking for anything, so he's never going to become it. If we expect of ourselves just like to be average, we'll be average. We can never be more than what we expect. I'll tell you about an amazing study they did with African Americans. They took two groups of African Americans, and there's no difference between the two groups. They're basically the same, and they gave them IQ tests. The only difference between the test was that on one of them, it just said on top, write your name. And the other one, it said, write your name and write your race, write your color. That was the only difference. So on one of them, he wrote his name. The other one, he wrote his name, and he wrote African American, black, Negro, whatever they like to call themselves.
The ones that all wrote that they're black, all did worse on the IQ test. Pele. Why? Because when what does that question trigger in your head? Why are they asking me if I'm black or not? Oh, because they think blacks are stupid. Oh, because they think blacks aren't educated. Oh, because blacks aren't as smart. Okay. And you know something? He became not as smart. Because if they're not expecting anything out of me, so then I won't become anything. So if we don't expect it, we're saying, you know what, I'm just a regular guy. Don't expect anything special out of me. Nothing will happen. But if we would be Dorish godless from ourselves, we have expectations that we can become great, it wouldn't happen. Because we all have it inside of us. A gvir came to Navarduk Yeshiva. And he was a gvir. He wants a good son-in-law. So he asked the altar, no. Show me the best of schayra. So he said, this is the biggest lamdin. This is the biggest baki. This is the biggest bal haloche. This is the biggest. So the story goes something like this. I'm not so good with stories. He said to him, who's the biggest mevakish? Who wants it the most? He said, that's the biggest mevakish. He said, that's the guy I want. That was the stipler. Because if you're a mavakish and you really want it, you'll get it. It's just the problem is we're not mavakish so much. We're like, we're okay. We're okay being mediocre. And if you're okay being mediocre, that's what you're going to become. But we have to learn to expect more of ourselves, to demand more of ourselves in a healthy way. That's part of the challenge. Because if a person expects a lot and then he doesn't reach it, then he all of a sudden he starts like, you know, getting frustrated with themselves. But in order for a person to accomplish, that's what we need. Now, a person that doesn't expect a lot of himself, he's like a person has a child that's a real fool. He's a child that's learning disabled. Doesn't want much of him. Whatever the son does, he's like, okay, I'm good with that. What do you want from him? He's a sachal, he's retarded. So what do you expect? Anything you get out of him is good. Everybody said, there's something which always rubs me the wrong way. People have dubbed us a shvachador. You ever heard people say that? This is a shvachador. Weak generation. You know what that means? We don't expect too much of you. It's okay, guys. You don't have to do that much because we're shvachador. It's okay. It's not a problem. That's terrible. That's horrible. I don't think we're a shvachador. I think we are an exceptional dar. I think that if you talk about, you know, Rav David said, We should be asking the Bachram for Kvitlach. That's an exceptional dar. These are amazing people. You guys are amazing. And you could be even more amazing. You know what Rabbi Yochum said? I might have said this recently, I don't remember. Rabbi Yochum said that Bachram don't know who they are, that sometimes there's a Bachar who's learning a Sefer, and the Bachar is bigger than the person who wrote the Sefer. That's a Shvachador. That's a Shvachador. It's an unbelievable, amazing door that the Nisyonis, the Bochum, are fighting against and pushing against, and the commitments that they make, and the breakthroughs that they're making. It's unbelievable. But we don't have to stop. The sky's the limit. So don't sell yourself short and say, okay, what do you want from me? It's a Shvachador. It's not a Shvachador. There's nothing you can't accomplish if you just put your head to it and you just believe in yourself and you expect of yourself, then you can do this. What a mistake a person makes for not expecting from himself, from selling himself short and saying shvachador. Kvar dibarnu la'el eich al kol echod la'avoid v'la'azor u'legalois min am Yisrael sadik of gedolei v'goinov. Every person in Klal Yisrael, every one of you, it's your responsibility. You have to work. And you have to reveal what's the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Bring out its tzaddikim, its gedolim, its goyim. The future of Klal Yisrael is you. Ve'ech ha'shchina mikoinenes ala misrashel. How the shchina, it bemoans the one who's being lazy, lackadaisical. Sometimes I speak to Bochum and say, no, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing the best that I can do. Doing the best that I can. It's like, really? This is the best you could do? The best. This is the best. We could do better. Don't sell yourself short. It's hard because sometimes that means that you want me to to say that I have to work harder or do better, and I don't want to feel inferior. I don't feel like I'm failing. We're not failing. We're doing great, but we could do better. Expect more of ourselves. And sometimes it's just because it's hard work. Yeah, it's hard work. But, you know, Baruch Hashem, our yeshiva is from the fittest yeshivas in the world, in history. And you don't get fit unless you work hard. You don't get fit, you don't get muscles unless you're working out. And that's hard work. So we know how to work hard. We know how to, no one's getting good at ball unless he's practicing. And sometimes, you know, you got an injury here or there and it hurts. And we do that. We know how to do that. So let's work hard. So what are we being lazy for? And this is the hardest thing, by the way. It's much easier to do something like play ball. All you're trying to do is access your body. No big deal. But to try to work your mind, to wrap your head around things, and just, it is difficult. But that's what greatness is. Greatness only comes from a person who's working hard. Af imrak ish Yisrael pashut roitz elias. The person says, you know what? I hear you, but the fact is, I'm okay just being a regular guy, a pashut yid. A pashut yid. Pashut yid is also a good thing. Aval afim rak ish Yisrael pashut roitz elias. You want to be pashut yid? Not great, okay? You don't need to be great. It's your choice. But what does it mean to be a pashut yid? Lama ze yishkach mahu Yisrael pashut. What does it mean to be a pashut yid? Kadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with every single member of Klal Yisrael. Mechoitev Eitzim Adshoyev Mayim. Mamish, from the people cutting the wood, the people that are drawing the water, the simple people. Kishaba Bereshis Asoysoy Oysam Naam Yisrael. Right in the beginning of the inception, when we became a people. You want to be part of Klal Yisrael? This is what it takes. Velitin Lehem. And now, im shamaya tishmu bekoili ushmartem es brisi v'yisem li segula. You have to keep the Torah, and you have to be skula mikol ha'amim, different from everyone else. Ve'atem tiuli mamlaches koyanim v'goy kadosh. Mamlaches koyanim means you have to be leaders, not followers. Goy kadosh means you have to be sanctified. You have to be holy. That's a simple Jew. That's a simple Jew. Simple Jews don't just go with the flow. Simple Jews don't just do what everyone else does. Simple Jews have to follow every single detail in Shulchan Aruch. That's what it means to be a simple Jew. I'll tell you, my Elta Zeda, he had a Talmud named Mordechai Gifter. Mordechai Gifter, his grandson learns in the Halacha Koil over here, second Seder. Mordechai Gifter went to Telz. He went to learn in Telz in Europe. So he writes to my grandfather. We have the letters between the two of them. It's been printed since then. But he writes in the letter what it was like in Telz on Friday night. What did Friday night look like in Telz? So I can tell you, it wasn't, the Balabatim weren't comparing like who can, you know, who buys fancier whiskey or who's, you know, getting drunk, not smashed, but just like a little tipsy. That wasn't happening. You know what the Balabatim were doing? 12 o'clock at night, Rav Gifter writes, you could not find a seat in the Beis Medrash. They learned from 12 to 7. The entire night, Friday night. 7 o'clock, they davened Shacharis. After Shacharis, they went for Kiddush to the Rosh Shiva's house. And the Rosh Shiva gave a shiur for an hour and a half to the Balabatim. He said, and the Balabatim were arguing with the Rosh Shiva, and sometimes the Balabatim would slug up the Rosh Shiva. These were Balabatim people that were working. Simple people. Pashut Yidden. That's a Pashut Yid. We have to understand that Pashut Yid is not Pashut. And anything less than that, it's just, you're not even there. The yeshiva, our yeshiva, Aderes HaTorah, is named after my grandfather, who would call himself a Pashti Yid. He was a Yid with a mustache. Shout out to all you mustache peoples. He was born in America, if I'm not mistaken, by the turn of the century. grew up in America, went to public school before he went to Yeshiva University. He's a Pashtiyid, simple person. Maybe he had a ritzvah and a rajma in his house. I don't know how many times he opened it. I don't know. I never spoke to him in learning, like svaras or anything. He finished Daf Yomi around seven times. He learned Daf Yomi five times every day. He went to four different Daf Yomi shurim every day. He did Perek of Rambam. He did his Maver Sedra every single week. Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum. He's a person that was, constantly. He ran a school. The school's now named after him. He never had an official position because he never. Never took any money for it, but he was in the school every single day practically of his life. His life was chesed, Torah, these types of things. He had a parnasa, but Pashtiyid, he was a Pashtiyid, he was a simple person. That's what these are Pashtiyidin. If we think a Pashtiyid means, oh, he doesn't have to keep halacha, he doesn't have the minyan, he doesn't have to get up on time for Kriya Shema, he doesn't have to worry about all, he doesn't have to think about things, that's out. So a person wants to say, okay, I'm just going to go for simple. Pashit is not Pashit. Every single person is working hard. We all have to work hard. So a person saying that, don't forget what it means. What is like the lowest possible that a person can do to be called Ayid? Erlich in business. A person has to have the right priorities. He has to be Kaveh Itim HaTorah. You don't start. You come to Shemaim, Kavati Itim HaTorah. No, you're out. Boom, gone. Forget it. You didn't even get into the door. So we have to realize that Any way we go, it's gonna be work. Rak imkach to you. Only if this is what we're gonna be. Yisraelim atem v'imlav, chas v'shal. Only if you're willing to do that, are you considered a yid? On them, you're a nice guy. You might be a nice guy, but that's it. What makes you an erlich yid? What makes you? You have to be mamleches koyanim v'goy kadosh. Umi bachem nare Yisrael, asher yimoin chas v'shalom elias Yisrael. Who amongst us would refuse or would turn down the title of saying I'm not a Jew? Umi hu asher lo yidroish me atzmoi lo mi Yisrael ani. Who would not expect of himself to at least the bare minimum of being a yid? Eved Hashem. With all of my strength, with all of my mind, I'll do everything I have to do, at least to be a yid. Being that every person over here would have that expectation of themselves, kvar iefshar shelo yimta es chasronaisav. Now it's impossible for us not to look for our flaws, because we're not going to fool ourselves in saying that I could be total failure when it comes to Shulchan Aruch, and still I'm still considered to be good. I'm like, that's considered to be a Pashtiyid. No. We can't do that. We can't be failing. So we're going to have to search for what are our shortcomings, what are chisroinus. Libo Yidav, his heart should be pounding, should be concerned. V'lo yitztak aleim, and he shouldn't try to like excuse himself. With every ounce of strength, you should try to fix it and to straighten it. And we have to be able to embrace the ideal of understanding our flaws. We know that Yaakov Avinu, before he passed away, the end of Sefer Bereishis, gave brachas to all of his children. He gave brachas to all of his children, right? Every single one of them. The pasuk says he's going to give them all brachas. But if you look at the brachas, some of them don't look like they're such, you know, kind, gentle blessings. They're actually very critical. It says, Ruvain, Bechori Ata, Pachas Kamayim, Pachas Kamayim Al Toysar, which is like you make rash decisions. Shimon of Levi Achi, klei chomas mecheraseim. You're violent. You use klei chomas, which is weapons of different pshatim, whatever, stolen weapons or aggressive weapons. You're aggressive. Where is the bracha here? Where's the bracha? And I think that the answer is that the biggest bracha sometimes you could give someone is to call them out and tell them, listen, buddy, this is what you have to work on. You don't want to be a failure your whole life. You don't want to pretend. You want me to make everything rosy and just pat you on the back and be a cheerleader and say, yay, we're great the way we are, but we're not. Well, we could be. You could be. Every single one of us could be a star, but we have to learn to expect from ourselves and have to figure out what we need to work on. So sometimes that's the greatest blessing that a person can have. If we understand that it's coming from, that is a concern for our future. So we have to figure out what we need to work on, and let's discuss it. Let's have a discussion. So he's going to talk about over here all these different ideas. We're going to speak about machlas ha'atzlus, talking about laziness. And how does a person avoid laziness? How does a person get himself out of laziness? And there are ways to work on it. Sometimes we just think, this is who I am, and that's just the way I am, but it's not like that. People can change. People can grow. It's just we can't be intimidated by the fact that we have shortcomings. We all do. Every one of us. Everyone in this room. Myself included. Everyone. Everyone does. Every single person on the planet has what to work on. And if someone will point it out to you, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And Yaakov was saying, Shimon, Reuven, you're great, but you got this. You got to work this out. And I'm leaving you now, and I'm not going to be able to point this out to you again. So take this to heart and be the best you can be. And Shimon and Levi, you got to work that out. So all of us have to try to learn to embrace. Someone comes over to you and says, listen, I think you should work on this. You should embrace it. You should try to realize that that's maybe something that could really make the difference in our lives. So we're working on that, and we're trying to appreciate that we are capable of overcoming it. Sometimes people point things out to us and we hate it because we know it's there, we just don't know what to do about it. I was once talking to a boy, and Nebuch, he suffered a lot when he was a kid. He suffered a lot because in school, I mean, he was a privileged kid. He grew up very, very privileged. But school was a disaster. And the Rebbe felt a little powerless, because when your father's name is on the outside of the building, there's really not much they could do to help him. Right? Because they can't, how much can they discipline already? So one of the Rebbeim called him over after class, and he was a kid. He was, fourth grade. He told me this story. So the Rebbe said to him, I just want you to know this. You are the worst kid in this entire class. He said, you got to get your act together. So he told me, he said, I felt like he was giving me an airplane to fly and telling me, fly the plane. I don't know how to fly a plane. I don't know how to get my act together. I don't know what to do. So I'm the worst kid in the class. I know that already. I know what I'm doing. I just don't know how to, change anything. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know how am I supposed to improve? I don't know how. So tell me I'm the worst kid in the class. Shape up. How? So the Rebbe is telling us how. He's going to give us tools. But if we believe that we can, so then we'll be receptive to, okay, we can be receptive to the criticism. But if you don't think you can fix it, so then someone starts, it's telling you things. All of a sudden, you start fighting back. Like, what are you talking about? What do I need to hear that for? All is painful. Because all you do is you remind me that I'm a zero. We're not zeros. We're great, and we could be even greater. And Be'ez Hashem, what we're going to do, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, I hope to be here next week. We're going to continue with the fourth parak, which speaks about what are some of the ways to improve on some of the weaknesses that we have.